If we can prove it's safe and effective, then potentially by the end of the year, there'll be a significant number of doses available.
New hopes for a vaccine that can fight the coronavirus. It's Thursday, May 28th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Doug Bernard in Washington. Also today, trying to explain an inexplicable attack in Afghanistan. And Thailand works to recover, but has a long way to go. There's that and much more, all coming up today on VOA Asia. Thailand's tourism industry accounts for about 20% of that nation's gross domestic product. As restrictions due to the coronavirus pandemic ease, many workers in the service industry are now facing a growing struggle with depleted savings and rising debts. Steve Sanford has more in this report from Crombie.
Food lines in Thailand have become more common as the lockdown has left many day laborers jobless with no income, especially in the tourism sector. Community businesses are joining in to help offset limited government aid, providing meals and essential goods to those in need.
Right now we see clearly the staff that works at hotels, 100% of them all lose jobs because they are not allowed to open yet. And waitresses at restaurants, especially the barbecues, can't open because people can't sit down and drink. Also bars and pubs are all shut down.
With Thailand's emergency decree extended until the end of June, a shortage of customers means a drastic cut in revenue for many. For mothers like Arachorn, who supports an extended family, there is no option to stay home, whether healthy or sick.
I have to leave the house. I can't afford to stay home because we don't have money. Sometimes I earn small savings of money that I need to buy milk and diapers for my grandchildren. I have two grandchildren who need to eat.
Some unemployed entertainers and artists are using their spare time to create new job opportunities to make ends meet. Popular musician Choi Piasak has opted for smaller crowds, converting a live music bar to an art gallery with a touch of goodwill. The artist plans to donate proceeds from gallery sales to help COVID victims and their families.
I don't have much expectations for the music business because there is no clear future on entertainment regulations. So I think the artwork that we are doing now, we can put in our space and slowly start an art gallery because it's a new thing for us to adapt to.
As Thailand moves forward to further open the economy as COVID cases drop, it remains unclear how it will affect the livelihood of workers. Steve Sanford for VOA News in Krabi, Thailand.
And you can learn much more about that story and many others simply by visiting us online at Facebook, at Instagram, and of course at voanews.com. These are some of the top Asia headlines making news at this hour from VOA News. Australian police end probe of journalist and suspected whistleblower. Hong Kong police disperse protesters opposing national security and anthem laws. Coronavirus deaths top 350,000 worldwide, with new worries about India. And Thai economic crime may be undetected as reports drop, says a new survey. That and much more is all available at our website, voanews.com. This is VOA Asia. I'm Doug Bernard. Leaders of the European Union and Japan held a virtual summit on how the world can move forward responsibly beyond the pandemic. Reporter Catherine Field works in Paris, and she spoke with our Laurie London about the summit.
One of the big issues that the Japanese government and the EU27 want is a push forward on the coronavirus vaccine, and that we're looking again at that global coronavirus response that started earlier in May when leaders reaffirmed commitment to having diagnostics and all sorts of vaccine possibilities put forward. Don't forget that proposal, they've already got some 9 billion euros to help get those antiviral medicines going, to get diagnostics going. So one aspect of that is for them all to go back to this common theme, which is any vaccine needs to be a global common good, that it's for everyone and not just for the rich nations. So they wanted to put that there. They also, both sides, wanted to put it there that they are willing to talk or even to look at the workings of the World Health Organization, not necessarily reform it, but have a look at how it's working. So it is important. And when you look at the size of these two blocks, you've got the EU on the one hand and Japan, that represents around a quarter. Their trade represents about a quarter of the world's GDP. So you're talking about two large players who are able to decide where world trade will be going as the economy is start opening up again.
And also, I know that the issue of the upcoming G7 was a topic of discussion, given that the president of the United States has invited leaders to come to the U.S. to Camp David. Looks uncertain as to whether or not that's actually happening or not, but I know they discussed that.
Yes, European nations are emerging from lockdown. They're feeling pretty positive. It's certainly a contrast from the lockdown. And you now feel they're beginning to look beyond the day-to-day, and they are looking at foreign policy. And, of course, the agenda on next month's, everyone's diaries, is that scheduled G7 meeting. And that will be the first international gathering since COVID-19. It'll be a gathering beyond national confinement. And so even though these meetings and these types of meetings can sometimes be banal and the communiques at the end, if they're issued, are often bland, this time there's a feeling that the Europeans want to sort of talk about the way the world has changed after COVID-19. They want more free trade based on reciprocity. They want climate change. They want green energy. They want transparency. And of course, they want help for African debt. So the Europeans are keen to build with the Japanese a way of going to the G7 and sticking to these principles. If you like, you could even say that they're looking for something to sell to their public so as they can attend that G7.
In other words, they want to create a message of solidarity in the face of what they could come up against here in the U.S. from President Trump?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yes, on the one hand, you do have this feeling, particularly in Europe, that what with the relationship between the United States and China at the moment is not doing anyone any favors. Plus, this America First from President Donald Trump is very difficult for particularly Europeans to understand. So as this movement goes forward, the Europeans are in quite a difficult position because they can't not go to a summit. You can't back out when you are countries that are talking about multilateralism all the time. Mm. So they do need to go, because to not go or not to attend, even if it was a virtual summit, would be going against multilateralism. So they need to find a way that they can tell their public, hey, look, we're going to go there. We're going to talk about climate change, green energy, transparency. We are going to change the world after COVID-19. And we can only do that by going to these sorts of summits.
This whole situation with collaboration with a lot of these summits, not including the United States, and Europeans, of course, thinking multilaterally and knowing they have to come to the U.S., do you think that they're working toward what appears to be a new world order?
They certainly want the world beyond COVID-19 to be very different from what it was before. And they want to use this, if you like, new beginning to say, okay, let's sit down, let's look at it. So let's look at trade, let's look at how we do trade, let's look at how we live. And if you just look around Europe and you see some of the initiatives that have come up to keep cars off the road, to keep areas clean, to be talking about a green circular economy again.
Reporter Catherine Field speaking with our Lori London. This Asia News break from voanews.com. Pakistan has confirmed that arch-rival India is proposing a trilateral response in partnership with Iran to fight a crop-killing desert locust invasion which threatens food security for millions of people across the region. For much more, you can read about this story and many others at voanews.com. The Southern Hemisphere's first human trials of a potential coronavirus vaccine have begun in Australia. 131 people aged between 18 and 59 are involved in the program in Melbourne and Brisbane. With more, here's Phil Mercer.
The potential vaccine NVX-CoV-2373 is being developed by the American biotech company Novavax. It started working on the drug in January when the COVID-19 outbreak began in China. It aims to boost the body's immune response and stimulate high levels of neutralizing antibodies. If the vaccine works, researchers hope 100 million doses can be made by the end of this year and 1.5 billion next year. Researchers say that vaccines are miracles and have a great way of protecting populations against these severe diseases. Dr. Paul Griffin is an infectious diseases expert who's involved in the Australian COVID-19 trial. He hopes the drug will successfully attack the virus and be ready for use within months.
We look for antibodies and the type and number of antibodies, and then we take some things out of the subjects through those blood tests and do a lot of laboratory experiments to show that it neutralises the virus. The company manufacturing the vaccine have already started that scaling up process, so they're already making a lot of doses of this vaccine. So if we can prove it's safe and effective, then potentially by the end of the year there'll be a significant number of doses available.
Australian authorities say the trial is a significant step forward in the global race for a coronavirus vaccine. Some participants will receive a placebo, while others will be administered Novavax's drug. Early results are expected in July, and scientists expect some conclusive results by the end of this year. Phase 2 trials would take place with thousands of volunteers in several countries. Volunteers are still needed, and the research team has stressed that no live coronavirus is used in experiments on people. Novavax has received $388 million from the Norway-based Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovations. There are more than 100 potential coronavirus vaccines in development, and about a dozen have made it to the human trial stage. It is a global race potentially worth billions of dollars to those who can find a safe and reliable treatment for a virus that has killed almost 350,000 people around the world.
If you listen to VOA Asia much, no doubt you've heard a lot of reports from Phil Mercer. He covers Australia and the entire region for us, and the coronavirus pandemic has kept him hopping. But it's also affected him personally, not just as a reporter. Here with the latest of our COVID-19 diaries is Phil Mercer in his own words.
COVID-19 has turned Australia into a fortress. Its international borders were closed to foreigners in March, and Australians need special permission from the government to leave. It is unnerving. A much-anticipated family vacation to see my relatives and friends in Britain and Ireland has been cancelled. We don't know when we'll be able to go. Lockdown restrictions are gradually being relaxed across the country. Who would have thought the simple pleasure of breakfast with friends at a seaside cafe would seem like such a treat? But there we were, reclaiming a lost freedom. Australians are mostly compliant during times of national distress. For most of us, the summer's bushfires seem like a distant memory. Those long, dangerous days working in the fire zone have been replaced by covering the fight against an invisible enemy. For many days, places like Sydney were smothered by smoke that had been carried in from blazes nearby. Now we are smothered by the fear and anxiety of a highly infectious disease that will continue to change the way we live for many months, if not years. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Thanks so much for being with us. We'll see you again tomorrow.